Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Creative Mind series, and I am honored and excited. It's mid-year 2022, and I was so honored. I had Bill Bennett kind of wrapping up the year of 2021. It was my equivalent. I actually called it the Universe Super Bowl interview. So I've got Bill back, and Bill, thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, Denise, absolute pleasure.
Okay, so your bio and everything that you've done is going to be in the show notes, and that's going to get integrated. But I want to kind of zoom in on the reason why, you know, it's Friday. I'm going to launch this show sometime within the week, but it's Friday night, and I was struck by, my jaw dropped when I read your Instagram post of what happened this week. Can you just let us all know a little bit about what happened to you and your wife this week?
Sure. By way of background, I'm nearing completion of a film on fear. It's called Facing Fear. It's a follow-up to the film that I made on intuition called PGS, Intuition as Your Personal Guidance System. So my wife's name is Jennifer. We had traveled about 300 kilometers to the Hunter Valley to screen the film to a distributor. The next day, we were on our way back home. It was about midday or so. It was a beautiful, bright, shiny, perfect day. Traveling on a small country back road, there was some traffic coming towards us, a line of about four or five cars. There was a truck in front, and the car behind the truck suddenly pulled out to overtake. Now, there was no room to overtake. It was an act of absolute madness for him or her to even contemplate overtaking because there was just simply no room. I was traveling at about 60 miles an hour. He was probably traveling at about 75, 80 miles an hour as he went to overtake. My first reaction was, this is crazy. He's got to see me. I say he, it could be she, and he's going to pull back. But the driver didn't. The driver just kept on coming straight for me like a bullet. The interesting thing was, and we can talk about this later, it was, I describe it as a muscle car. I hope people understand what a muscle car is, but it was kind of like not a sports car, but you know, a car several years old. But it was coming, and it was the same color as the color that we have used in the artwork for the film. The color for the film is a kind of a darkish lime green, a very unusual color. And this car was exactly the same color. Now, you just don't get cars that color. But anyway, so this, I describe it like a green bullet coming straight for us on our side of the road. And there was absolutely no room to overtake at all. And immediately I had to make a decision. There was no time to flick my lights. There was no time to brake. There was no time to do anything other than to react. And what I did was I swung onto the shoulder of the road. There was gravel there and there was guideposts. And it was literally just a moment later, this car whizzed past, missing my side wing mirror by maybe 1 or 2 inches. It was that close. I saw straight ahead of me this metal guidepost coming up. I had to quickly kind of do a slalom swerve back onto the road again. And the whole thing was done and dusted in maybe 3 or 4 seconds. That's how long it was. But had I not moved across onto the side of the road, it would have been a God almighty head-on collision, and we would have probably involved the four or five other cars on the other side of the road as well, because she was going fast, like really fast. But what was interesting, Denise, is that the whole thing, I sort of described it to Jennifer later, kind of like, you know, the guy in the Matrix that dodges the bullets in slow motion, where you just kind of bend out of the way. That's kind of like what I did. I just sort of adroitly, look, I don't mean to, you know, big note myself as a driver because I'm, you know, a fancy driver. I'm not a fancy driver at all, but.
That in that moment.
Well, yeah, I just kind of flicked the car onto the side of the road. This green bullet whizzed right past us. I had a guidepost coming up. I quickly zipped back onto my side of the road again and just kept on driving. And what was interesting was that I had no after rush of adrenaline. I've been in situations on the road, nothing like this, but I've been in situations where something has happened and then I've just been rushed full of adrenaline and I start to shake and my heart starts to palpitate and, you know, I have to pull over on the side of the road because I just simply can't drive anymore. That, in fact, was the response that I had when I was nearly hit by a truck, which prompted PTS, which we can talk about later if you wish. A truck ran a red light. I jammed on the brake.
Wait. This is a really important pause.
Yeah.
I'm just taking a deep breath because I want to just say that when I initially read the Instagram post, I thought, OMG, no coincidences. What are the chances that while Bill is out having a lovely week, by the way, happy 40th anniversary to you and Jennifer.
Thank you. Our 40th wedding anniversary was this past week. Yeah.
Yeah. And I, by the way, every time I see your pictures, I can like feel all the love and it's like so inspiring to see people where, you know, there's just this unseen energy that's beyond love. It's like you guys are just growing and growing. So you're on this amazing week. You are going around getting incredible feedback from what it looks like on your Facing Fear movie. And what struck me, and you heard my response at Instagram, what struck me, everyone, is that when I went to go see PGS Intuition at one of its screenings here in the States, which I'm going to have Bill kind of eloquently talk about, right before that inspiration and catalyst to that film and his, I would say, intellectual meets logic meets non-linear meets intuitive journey to figure out when he heard his inner voice and at that point did not get hit by a truck. And I'm finding it before this movie's actually released. Like, what are the chances? And so I thought, no coincidences. I thought you're very protected. And I thought just a real kind of like logical where we kind of like go up above ourselves and look at our lives. And this happens to all of us. There might be a time when we're thinking something like this happened just 10 days ago. I thought, gosh, I really know that this person's doing an amazing job. We'd be amazing to do a show together. 3 days later, he sent me a message. Oh, I want to do this with you. I want to do this. So we have premonitions, but to me, the precision of what just happened with the color of the car and the way you described it now, just now for all of us, and also in your Instagram post, I felt like it was literally when like a bullet, like if we were to look at it, you and I, to look at the car, your car and that car, it was like someone that didn't want to live. I mean, it's such a microcosm example of the movie that has been yet to be released.
Well, Denise, look, a couple of things. One is that until now, I've never connected the incident with the truck and PGS and with this incident. You're absolutely right in connecting those two, but I hadn't actually thought about it. To people who haven't seen PGS, very quickly, I was driving to the
airport. Time out, though. We want you all to watch it first, though. So yes, just do enough of a teaser, Bill Bennett.
All right. Basically, I was working on a movie. I'm a film director. I was working on a movie in New Orleans, and I was driving to the airport early one morning before dawn to get the first flight back to Los Angeles. I had an intersection coming up, a green light up ahead. I went to accelerate to get through on the green. A voice kicked in saying, slow down. I'd never heard a voice like this before. I ignored it. I went to accelerate again, the voice came in a second time, slow down. I listened to the voice. I slowed down. As I entered the intersection, a huge truck ran a red light on the cross street and thundered through right in front of me. I then jammed on the brakes and narrowly missed getting collected by that truck. I would have ended up strawberry jam. And
exactly. I mean, like, really, like, wow. Like, because you're, yeah. you normally, if you're on your way to an airport, you're kind of like speeding up to go. So even that moment, and not only the way you're describing it right now, but the way the opener went in PGS Intuition was time. It's something, there's like this concept of time is timeless. You know, yeah. Time is man-made for human beings. We have, you know, our understanding of time and Newtonian physics versus quantum. But mm-hmm. both of these incidences, this incidence of the near miss with the truck and then listening to your inner voice, and then mm-hmm. this current situation of having this green muscle car coming at you, I felt in the way you wrote it, but I also, the way my perception is I hear the linear language, but then I can feel the feelings, but sometimes I travel back to the scene. It's just the way my perception works. So I could feel in both instances, kind of like an academic spiritual quantum review. When I saw your Instagram, for me, I got a huge intuitive download that both of these situations prior to movies launching, one was the catalyst and the inspiration of your curiosity, but this next one is almost like an absolute validation of, Bill, you are on the right path. I mean, by the way, I don't know if everyone wants to have like near-death experiences to know that they're on the right path, but I was like, oh my goodness, I need to interview you as soon as possible so we can discuss this.
What was, I mean, Jennifer and I later on, I got to say, Jennifer's first response, she was dozing. And as this car started to pull out, I just said, bloody hell. And when I said bloody hell, she opened up her eyes and she saw this car just on our side of the road coming straight at us at speed, like straight at us at speed. And then I did this little swifty.
Go Speed Racer. You were like Bill Bennett meets James Bond meets Speed Racer meets Quantum like Miracle. I mean, it sounds like it was like something that no one can even imagine. It's like I want like a little meme of it going into the new movie.
Well, I said, look, you know, that was my Lewis Hamilton moment. but I swung onto the side of the road. The car zipped past. I swung back again, and then Jennifer looked at me and she said, have we just died and gone to heaven? Aww. And I said, I'm not quite sure, maybe.
Wow.
because it was there and gone and over in, she said, a blink of an eye. It was that fast. I had to respond that fast. I kept it together. You know, what was interesting, so later on Jennifer and I started to look at it and she started to consider it in metaphysical terms, and she said, okay, the car is the exact same color as the artwork for the film. So let's say the car represents fear, and fear is coming straight at you, and fear wants to take you out. There's absolutely no doubt. It's determined to take you out, and you sidestepped fear calmly and precisely. You sidestepped fear, and then you kept on going on your path, and you were not affected by fear. Fear did not stop you. And, you know, and then so last night, Denise,
I just want to pause.
Yeah.
And I think when we're doing creative work, when we're in a relationship, I am struck by the dyad. I know that you're you and Jennifer's you, but with your logical, news-based, all your award-winning films predating PGS Intuition, and then my term of neurostyle, the perception that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way, I'm also very struck by your neurostyle and your wife's neurostyle and how it comes together. You know, we talk about 1+1 is infinite, and that's like hopefully our goal when we're in any type of relationship. But I feel the synergy between the two of you. So not only in your love of 40 years of marriage, but on this path, this exciting curiosity meets media meets awareness path. So for Jennifer to have that observation from the metaphysical, and by the way, I'm even having a hard time with the word metaphysical. To me, the quantum understanding of the universe is so integrated as a paradigm progression to Newtonian. So even those words, I mean, the elevated understanding of consciousness, I think for everyone out there, we're talking about Bill and his wife not dying a few nights ago, which we can all relate to at some point. But when we actually are in this moment of now, and then we watch ourselves outside of it as though it is a film, like life is the film, Jennifer was eloquent to make those observations.
Denise, I'm just reading from a blog that Jennifer wrote after my blog, where she said, the first thing I did once we'd stopped talking, this is after, we're still in the car after the near miss, once there was a gap in our conversation, was I tuned in and I asked Spirit, my higher self, whatever you want to call it, what was that? I was told by Spirit it was a key recalibration of both of us, especially Bill, that the car did represent fear and that it was a step up to a new paradigm of thinking for both of us, basically. However you want to look at it, it was definitely a step up and away from fear. And then last night, I woke up in the middle of the night and I picked up Paul Selig's book, Beyond the Known Realization. And there was a section there that made me, that triggered a thought, and that is that in looking at what happened in a higher way, and I'm using Paul's words here, in a higher way, it was an expansion out of the old normal into a new normal. So if you look at it as not an act of darkness, but as on the driver's part, the driver, you know, this green bullet. So if you look at it not as an act of darkness, but in fact as an act of light, then it opens up a whole other thought process. Because if it is an act of light, then what it means is that it is an opportunity for Jennifer and myself, as she says, to step up into a new paradigm of thinking.
Okay. So when we were little kids, we were all taught to like stop, drop, and roll, right? If you catch on fire. Right. So when you talk about this awareness, I talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism, and then you're talking about light versus dark. We have no idea, like you said, who the driver was. It could have been a he, it could have been a she. It could have been someone that had like a bet with their, could be a teenager, new driver, just like maybe they were dared to do something. We have no control over the mind or the universe of that green bullet coming at you, right? Mm. So what I'm also hearing is an awareness that to take a neutral perspective towards that event and like almost like perceive it how you perceived it and you're perceiving. I mean, to me, When I heard all of that, to me, it was almost like a scene that could not have been more divinely created to be able to talk about after your next movie. Like to me, it's like such a, like, by the way, I'm so sorry. I know you guys just almost possibly lost your life. So I don't, for anyone listening, you're like, oh my God, Denise, Dr. Denise, what are you doing? You're talking about, but like, it's like the movie within the movie. It was such a microcosm, and I haven't read any script on Facing Fear. I just know from what I do as an adult and child psychiatrist and what I do when I'm doing shows is that going into the suffering, when we go into the suffering and we use the energy of that event, that's where we do level up. So I just wanted to like almost like raise a glass to Jennifer's perception, but she got that from her higher self, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she has a connection to her higher self. Denise, the weird thing is that I don't see it now retrospectively as being, I certainly see it as a near miss. I don't see it necessarily as being something that, how can I say it? Something that where I was actually kind of in danger. And the only reason I say that is because, okay, I've got a car coming at me, you know, like mm-hmm. 85 miles an hour or whatever it was, 80 miles an hour. I'm doing about 60 miles an hour. There's no time to react other than to take the evasive action that I did. But the weird thing is that I now look at the whole thing with absolute neutrality. You know, I was talking to my brother. Right. My brother is 18 months younger than me. He's a vet. And he said, "You must have been so angry. Why didn't you turn around and chase that person, get his number plate and report him to the police?" And I said, "Well,
I'm laughing at that. It's like, oh my God, that sounds like a hilarious reality show, which is what most people on planet Earth of the 7.8 billion would tune into. And fortunately or unfortunately, I don't feel like the human collective. So mm-hmm. like that's a very normal primal response. Go brother, protective."
Oh my well, gosh. Yeah, number one. There's no way in the world that I could have caught him, you know, because he was going way, way faster than me. Number two, that thought never occurred to me. I wasn't angry. I was certainly thankful, you know, that we had escaped. It's the closest I've ever come to being killed. I got to say that in my entire life, I've done some really crazy things and been in some pretty hairy situations. That was the closest I've ever come to being killed. And I got to say, Denise, the shoulder of the road was all gravel. And if I had not been as precise as I was in my driving, I could have very easily slipped off that road. There was the embankment dropped away. We could have rolled and been killed, you know. So there are a number of risk factors involved in that. Now, I've got a 12-year-old Mercedes. It's a Mercedes diesel. It's a beautiful old car. It's not a fancy car, but it's a 12-year-old Mercedes done, 200,000 miles. That car kept me safe.
Right. No, absolutely. But I just for because people are just, if they haven't listened to, if they haven't seen your movie and haven't listened to our first show, I think one of the things that I'm the most struck about is there are no coincidences and that your logic and linear neuro style went on this path around the world to gain information on that inner voice. So I think what strikes me is it's like another validation, almost like I call it a kiss on the cheek from the universe, that Bill, you're on the right path. Of course, you know, you just described that was the closest to your death. But to me, the way you describe is you were calmer than ever. So would you be able to comment on kind of broadening out the topic to what you've learned since you filmed PGS Intuition and gone around the world about the topic of no coincidences, symbols and signs? And we can go back and forth, but I think that's what's really important for all of us when we're here in the earth plane and there are things that just can't be explained. I think it's kind of neat to have people get a background to what your life was before PGS Intuition and your perception and now how it keeps growing and expanding.
Oh, Denise.
That's like a whole documentary.
We need more time than this can allow.
Okay. Look, we can do some teasers. If you want to make it like a game show, you can throw some topics at me and we can do a whole season talking about. I actually mean this. I'm joking around, but I'm not. Because to me, this is where it's at for all of us.
Well, look, first off this, and that is that, and I'll keep this very brief. I came from a family of evidence-based thinkers. Both my parents were dentists. All my brothers and sisters went into the medical sciences. I started off studying medicine. I went to med school for 2 years at Queensland University and then transitioned. It wasn't my thing, so I went into journalism, which only strengthened my all the training was based on evidence-based thinking. And so when I came to make a film on intuition, I came to it with this background. I'm an ordinary bloke. I don't have any higher self connections. I find it very hard to meditate. I don't have any special psychic powers, anything like this. The only thing that I have is curiosity. And when this voice saved my life with this truck in New Orleans, and it did save my life, my curiosity said, okay, what's that voice? Where did it come from? And why was my life saved? Now, it took me 8 years to make a movie to satisfy those questions. And in that 8 years, I did a fundamental shift. I changed entirely as a person. I shifted from being this slightly cynical person who only believed in what you could see, what you could measure, what you could touch, to a person who firmly now believes in a whole other realm and realms. I mean, I won't go into, you know, what I now believe, but before I made that film, I could not say the word God. I could not say the word God. Saying the word God made me feel very uncomfortable. So if I had to say the word God, I would say G word.
Can I just tell you something? Right, yeah. When you're saying this, I'm hearing that prior to this event, God was the equivalent of a four-letter word.
Yeah.
The G word.
Yeah. And I said to myself, I remember saying to myself before we came to editing the film on intuition, how can I get through this film without using the word God? And during the making of the film and then with the editing of the film, which took nearly 2 years, I shifted my thinking absolutely fundamentally. And the way I did that, Denise, was very, very simple. I said to myself, all right, I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to look at things critically. I'm going to look at things analytically, but I'm going to keep an open mind. And I'm not going to discount what I can't understand. And there was a lot I couldn't understand, but there was a lot where I went, if I can use the term again, the same term that I used when I saw that car coming at me, bloody hell.
I love it. Bloody hell. That should be the name of the episode. Maybe instead of no coincidence, I'm going to call it bloody hell. With your bloody permission. Hell. Okay, very good. We said it three times. We got it. Because you know what? Most people in the realm of what we're in would love the bloody hell. So bloody hell. Okay. Let's go.
Bloody hell. There is a whole way of thinking, a whole realm of experiences, of stuff that I don't understand, but I cannot discount.
Correct.
You know, in my, if you like, with my critical faculty, how can you discount what somebody like Paul Selig does or James Van Praagh does or Carolyn Mace does or, you know, these extraordinary people that are real? They're real.
Can I give a real personal share that validates this? So... I was very much in love with my ex-husband, and I will love him for the rest of my life. But his logical linear thinking was something that was his. And I respect everyone's belief system. But many, many coincidences that are no coincidences happened throughout our marriage. And there was a time when I woke up in the middle of the night crying, and it was a deep cry. I mean, I don't usually wake up from my sleep crying. It's not normal for me. Mm. And the first thing that came out of my mouth is someone in my family died. Mm. And the next morning, my great aunt had passed away. Mm. And he had said, oh, that's just there's no connection there. And multiple things like that happened in that relationship. Now, I respect the fact that he just wasn't open and curious. Mm. But for me personally, I have not only have intuitive hits or see things, but I've gone and trained and I'm very evidence-based. I'm an MD, trained in Western medicine, but I have that unseen gift. So what you're talking about is how do we then back up that unseen energy with that's something that makes sense. So I just want to validate that you, when you listened to your inner voice before you made PGS intuition, you then became aware of another sensory experience that guided you to safety. Mm-hmm. And then you have gone on what I would say a very, very, like almost like a nomadic, intuitive, logical, skeptical journey around the world to get input. I would say that your journey is very evidence-based, based on sensory awareness. Would you agree or disagree?
No, I totally agree, Denise. I totally agree. You know, and look, if I have anything to offer, because I'm not an expert by any means, but if I have anything to offer, it's this, and that is that I am a normal, regular bloke, and yet I have changed my thinking and changed my personality and changed who I am fundamentally over this past, really since the start of PGS. I'll tell you what, it really started when I walked the Camino de Santiago, which was the year before I made PGS. That was really the start of it. In walking that pilgrimage route, that was really the start of my, I hate to use this term because it's a bit of a kind of a cliche term, but the start of my awakening, the start of my seeing something new. I didn't understand why I wanted to walk the Camino de Santiago. It's a 500-kilometer pilgrimage route across Spain. All I knew is that I had to do it. But I decided that I would dedicate the walk to the movie that I wished to make. I wished to make PGS Intuition. And so I decided to walk the Camino intuitively. What that meant was that I wouldn't plan anything. I wouldn't pre-book any accommodation. I wouldn't, you know, work out where I needed to be at what particular point. Now, you got to understand that I'm a film producer and director. And one of the things about being a film producer and director is you've got to plan everything. You can't go into a big movie just winging it. You know, like I've made movies in Hollywood, I've made movies in America, I've made movies all over the world. And the one thing you got to do is you got to plan meticulously. I decided to leave that all behind and walk the Camino intuitively as a dedication to the movie that I wished to make. And in walking that pilgrimage route, it gave me, if you like, the spiritual muscle the following year then to set about to make PGS finally. And in making it, and sorry, for people who don't understand, PGS stands for Personal Guidance System. What I propose in the film is that your intuition is a personal guidance system like a GPS. It guides you through life, and it tries to keep you on your path and your life's purpose. And this is where coincidence comes in, Denise, because we say that these are coincidences, but they're part of your path. We perhaps don't realize that in the dense form of matter in which we live, but in our spiritual, etheric form, if you like, this is all part of the plan. This is all part of the path that we're on. We think it's a coincidence, but it's not a coincidence at all. You know, these people that we meet, these things that happen to us, they're meant to happen. You know, they're not coincidences. That car coming at me and Jennifer the other day, that was no coincidence. That was meant to happen.
By the way, I felt that.
You know, it's our job now to try and figure out why and put it into a form so that we can learn from it.
Well, I have to tell you, for the man that's evidence-based.
I'll finish speaking.
What'd you say?
I hope I didn't bore you. You're not awake.
Did you hear me?
You're not asleep, are you?
No. Did you hear me?
Hello.
Okay, everyone, this has happened before. This is going to go into part two because we can hear each other. Well, you guys
Denise.
Can hear us. Okay, but we cannot hear. This is part two. Will happen next.
Denise.